Welcome to the Tapestry of Scripture podcast, where we seek to follow just a few of the threads that weave their way through the entire biblical tapestry from beginning to end. The Tapestry of Scripture podcast is a ministry of the Little Church in the Vale in Gates Mills, Ohio. For more information, visit www.little.church. You can subscribe to this podcast and our sermon podcast at iTunes or Spotify. In this episode of the Tapestry of Scripture, we're going to examine one of the ways that the Scripture talks about itself, one of the ways that we frequently talk about the Scriptures, and that's by using the phrase, the Word of God. And so we want to kind of trace that phrase and the history of it from Genesis through Revelation, from the beginning of redemptive history all the way through the end, follow that thread all the way through the tapestry of Scripture as a whole. So we want to begin by asking ourselves, at what point does the Bible start calling itself the Word of God? When does it start thinking of itself as the Word of God, if we could put it that way? And then also, what does it mean that the Bible is the Word of God? So when you start looking for that, one of the things you realize pretty quickly is that early on in redemptive history, people are hearing actual words, spoken words from God. God is directly communicating with people. So Adam hears words from the mouth of God, so to speak, and Noah seems to hear the words of God. Abraham hears words from God. God speaks to them. And they hear words, at least that's how we're given to understand it from Genesis, that they're hearing words with their physical ears and acting on them. And so we have people who hear directly from God there. And then you also have people who hear messages from God that are imparted through others. And so that introduces another idea pretty early, which is the idea of a prophet. That is a person who hears from God, hears those words from God, and then turns around and shares those words with others. There, the prophet is a stand-in for God, a person to whom God speaks, and who then in turn speaks to others as God's representative. And so some of those same people that we just mentioned act also as prophets. Noah is a prophet, in a sense, as he hears God's words about the coming flood, and even while he's creating, while he's building the ark to escape that punishment at God's command because of God's words, Noah is also preaching that coming judgment to others. He's warning other people about that. That's a little bit obscure when you're reading Genesis, but Peter makes that really clear in his writings, and Hebrews talks a little bit about that too, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I think that's either 1 Peter or 2 Peter. And so he's a prophet in that sense. He's hearing God's words and he's communicating that to others. Abraham, as another example, is called a prophet by Pharaoh. When he's in the court of Pharaoh, he's called a prophet. Joseph is a prophet in the sense that he receives from God the interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams and speaks God's message to Pharaoh then as a result. And then, of course, you have the prophet par excellence of the Old Testament, who is Moses, who comes along and also hears directly from God and turns and speaks God's words to God's people, as well as to Pharaoh, God's enemy. And also writes God's words down. And so Moses, perhaps as a function of his unique place in redemptive history as the first one to record for posterity the actual communications that he's received from God, he describes God's creative act itself in terms of the spoken word. So that's not something that we want to forget either, that the very first description of God in the Bible is of God speaking. He speaks creation into existence. His words bring creation into existence. Moses, when he describes God's message, God's communication to his people, both during his own time as well as when he's relating all the things that happened before his time, he uses the Hebrew word devar, which means word. So anytime he's talking about God's message or God's communication, he uses the word to describe that. And then as you move forward through the Old Testament and come to the prophets, you find over and over again phrases like, "Thus saith the Lord." By some counts, that phrase appears at least 1,900 times in the Old Testament. And when you add in other formulations like, "This is the word of the Lord," or "The word of the Lord came to so-and-so," then that number climbs to something like 4,000. So this idea of God speaking to his people, God's words being instrumental in the life of his people, is foundational in the Bible. And then the intertestamental period between Old Testament and New Testament, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes we call it the silent years because 400 years passed between the prophecy of Malachi, where that closes, and then the appearance of Jesus Christ. There's around 400 years there, and that's thought of as the silent years because there's no more words being spoken by God. God isn't speaking to anyone in words that are recorded for us. And so even that language, that term, the silent years, that reinforces the notion of God communicating, or in this case, not communicating in a new way with his people. And it also helps mark a transition in thinking that occurred in terms of the word of God. Whereas in ancient times, God had spoken often. As time passed, it seems as though much of God's revelation came in the form of what had been spoken and then written down by those who heard. And so by the time you get to the New Testament, you see the people in the New Testament referring back to the Old Testament as that which was written. Not just that which was spoken, but that which was written. And so they use the Greek word graphes, which just means writings, that which was written. And that comes across in Elizabethan English, you know, which is the type of English that was used when the King James Version was translated. That comes across as scripture, the scriptures. And so there's another synonym that we use regularly for the Bible, the scriptures. But that just means that which was written. That term, scripture, or the corresponding formula, as it was written, or that which was written, or as the prophet said, you know, those types of formulations are used well over 100 times in the New Testament to refer to God's previous communication to his people. But I think it's important to note there, even that idea of the written word of God still conveys the central notion of these communications being a faithful record of what God has said, right? It's a visual representation, ink on paper, or, you know, even in ancient times, on parchment or vellum or whatever the case was, it was a visual representation of words that God spoke, God's communication to his people, whether spoken verbally by a prophet or recorded by one, it's God's word. Which brings us to the final communication of God to his people. The New Testament also begins to think of the word as being specifically the word about Jesus. And so when you get to the book of Acts and the epistles, you see that you'll find the phrase the word of God or the word of Christ or the word of the gospel. And it's always referring, almost always. In fact, I would make the case that it's virtually always that phrase word of God in the New Testament is virtually always referring to the gospel message itself. The message about Jesus. The message about Jesus, that he is the king and that he comes to save his people. And John, of course, goes even further and calls Jesus the Word himself. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it becomes apparent throughout the first chapter of John that he's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word. But then that leads to the question, in what sense is Jesus the Word? Well, in that he is the communication of God to his people. He is God's message. So that the author of Hebrews then will say a little bit later that, you know, in previous times, this is Hebrews 1:1, in previous times, God spoke through the prophets in many portions and in many ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, right? So Jesus is the communication of God. He is the decisive word of God. And we have other hints of this same thing as well. Peter, in 1 Peter, will write that it's the Spirit of Christ in the prophets. It's the Spirit of Christ who speaks in the prophets, which makes sense because he is the Word. So the Word is the one giving the Word to the prophets who write down the Word for the people. Right. And then, of course, that casts a whole new light on that scene in Revelation where John looks and he sees a scroll sealed with seven seals and no one can open it except the Lamb who was slain. And that makes sense, too. Right. The only one who can open the scroll that contains the words, the only one who can open that is the one who is the Word. So we see the Bible self-referencing as the Word of God running all through Scripture, all through redemptive history from beginning to end. It's one of the threads that ties it all together, and it finds its highest expression in Jesus Christ himself. You've been listening to the Tapestry of Scripture podcast. A new episode will be published weekly, or whenever we get around to it. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, and to stay up to date with the latest teaching resources from Little Church in the Vale, look for us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, @LittleChurchOhio. That's @LittleChurchOh.